Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the latest edition of First Down Snapcast. I'm your host, Richard Butler, and joining me tonight is Ian Davis. And tonight's show guest, we've got representing the Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Patterson. Chicago Bears is Claire the Bear, Claire Ball.
Detroit the Bears.
We've got Steve Collins representing Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got show host, show guest, Charles representing the Packers. How's everyone doing?
I'm not tonight? Really representing the Packers because I don't actually know anything.
Well, a lot of people might say that about Packers fans in this chat.
Yeah, bring it on, baby.
Obviously, you're all fans of the relevant people and all involved. Like, so Steve's part of a Detroit Lions podcast. Adrian's very vocal around the Vikings in our group.
He's more vocal about the Cowboys than the Vikings, well, yeah, to be fair.
That's true, yeah.
Gives me abuse every week.
And obviously, we've got Claire, obviously, resident giveaway, HQ prize giver, NFL superfan from Twitter.
Yeah, just an idiot that likes to share her love and passion for the sport with other people.
Yeah, it's way too much Bears merchandise, but if someone's got to have it, someone's got to have it.
And I will have all of it. Send it now. Here's my P.O. box address. Send it to my flat.
They often do buy one, get one free on it, so that's why she's got so much of it.
Yeah, you can't do that with Detroit fans, though, can you?
Oh, no, so definitely. Adrian's keeping quiet for the moment. I'm sure it's
going to be
in a minute. So just thought we'd have a quick recap of the last season. So Green Bay obviously won the division. Chicago went 8-8, Vikings 7-9. Detroit, Steve, obviously finished 5-11. A lot of Detroit fans are probably happy because they've got the head coach change. Hopefully it's going to start bringing the new changeover in Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I cover the NFC North for the website NFL Scotland as well. I kind of write a weekly column. So I do tend to take a bit of an overview of all the teams. And I think the thing that's most frustrating for the NFC North is I think the Packers have now won it 7 out of the last 10 seasons. And I think at the start of the last season, there was a sort of general optimism that the gap might be closing. But when you look at the final league table and they're 13-3, and I think the Bears were next nearest at 8-8. No one really kind of like closed the gap on them. And I think for Detroit fans, the big win from last year was getting rid of the whole Quinn Trisha empire, which has been absolutely rotten 3 years. So we have to thank the Houston Texans for absolutely dismembering us on Thanksgiving and putting the final nail in Matt Patricia's coffin. And I think that was the highlight for a lot of Lions fans.
It never really worked, did it, the project? We're getting Patricia there. It didn't really seem to go where they wanted it.
Well, it was what I called the pound shop Patriots. And, you know, that's what he didn't seem to have any personality for. Kind of, I mean, Man United fan, and it was all very much Moyes after Ferguson, you know, rather than coming in and, you know, sort of having his own character and his own sort of style. He just tried to kind of emulate his successor, and you're never going to do that. Obviously, he, you know, Patricia just tried to be a kind of like mini Belichick, but, you know, that's a big ask for anyone. I think the most frustrating thing for Lions fans was that Patricia was sold as this defensive genius that had made the Patriots into this incredible defensive force. And our defense has been garbage for 3 years, like absolutely stinking. So, you know, to finally get rid of him, I think is a massive plus for Detroit.
Definitely. And I say I'm a Patriots fan, and yes, he did wonders, but it wasn't just him who was calling all the defensive players, because obviously Belichick has the final say in New England, no matter what player comes up. Adrian, obviously Vikings probably gone backwards last 2 years, potentially, finishing seven and nine. Kirk won a Monday night. Kirk won a Monday night game, though, so that's definitely a plus.
That is a plus, yeah, but I still think the last season was unacceptable. 7-9. Worst since 2014, third in the NFC, no playoffs. It's just not acceptable. But like Steve was saying, the divide between the top Green Bay Packers, you know, we've gone backwards, you know. So it's difficult to take any positives out of last season. You know, we had Justin Jefferson, which is obviously a massive plus for us. But we need the other weapons on the team to gel. For me, Kirk is on his final season in my mind. You know, he has to do something this season. Otherwise, he's been a bust. Simple as that. So,
yeah, I know we obviously have regular conversations with Stuart regarding Vikings. And if the Jefferson option's not there or the Dalvin Cook run's not there, there's not much going at the moment. Obviously, they're trying to address it now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't run the ball every play, and that's what pretty much what they were trying to do last season with Dalvin Cook. You do that, he's going to end up getting injured, and then where do you go? You know, I think. But looking forward to this season, I think we're in a better position than we were last season.
Yeah. So moving on from the Vikings, who finished third, Claire, Chicago made some steps forward, then had a few bad games, then made a few more steps forward, but finished 8-8.
So, firstly, I would say, like, if I take my Bears hat off and put my neutral hat, my sort of general NFL hat on, I genuinely thought the Vikings were going to be much more dangerous. I thought you were going to be in for a wild card spot, and then the wheels fell off. So I just sort of get that off my chest. And Mass was our MVP player this year. We snuck in. We didn't deserve to be there. I felt dirty as a Bears fan that we were like, and even the mustn't say that name, even Washington, who snuck in, played better and put a better showing up against a better team than we did, which was just awful to watch. So I'm not a proud Bears fan by any stretch of the imagination. Matt Ryan and Nat, they are on a hot seat. They have drafted well from everything I've looked through. No analyst, no sort of podcast has them rated below a B+, and there was only one channel that had them below that. Everyone's like all in the A range. How you spend $10 million to get Andy Dalton when you already had Mitch Trubisky on a cheaper contract, I don't understand. Can someone please, my Twitter handle is @ClaireTheBear85. If someone can genuinely contact me on how that makes sense, please.
By Stuart's appearance, I'm sure
he did,
Stuart
did great for us last year. It was fantastic.
I think we're skipping over the Nick Foles bit as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where quarterbacks go to die, isn't it?
It is. It's awful. And do you know what? I totally drunk the Kool-Aid on Mitch. I've been a Bears fan for over 30 years. Cough, cough. I remember Super Bowl 20. I had two Mitch Trubisky jerseys, and I have never owned a Bears QB jersey up to that point. We were so lucky to get Fields up. Obviously, they have worked some magic in the draft. We were damn lucky. Like, I thought we were going to get a Seabird cornerback was what I fancied, but we have pulled a rabbit out of the hat. But you don't know what you've got in the draft until 4 years later down the line. Will product hit the field? Also, we saw with Burrows last year for the Bengals, one knee injury, you know, Bridgewater, you know, he's never been the same. If your knee gets knackered, you have had it. You have to protect your high asset, and your high asset on every NFL team is your quarterback. So, and then I like that we, I don't know if you guys have seen The Blind Side, most of you have, and whoever's listening to this probably has. It's how, you know, the saying at the beginning is you write the check for the mortgage and then you pay the insurance is the next thing you pay for. And we have improved our line, which was important. So, mildly hopeful Bears fan, it's not all doom and gloom.
You'll have to, because I don't really know the ins and outs of it, but who's replacing Leno then at left tackle?
Pass. I do not think that has been finalised yet.
Because for me, you're talking about left tackle there on the blind side, and that's the one that kind of protects the quarterback. And for me, letting Leno go was a bit of a surprise, really.
It was money. We are the, I think we had the fourth worst draft capital. We had the biggest overspend in the north by miles. I think we were the worst for cap space in the NFC as well.
Thought the Vikings were.
I think Saints were the worst out of everybody.
Oh, yes. Maybe top three, but yeah. So we've had to empty the cupboard, essentially. But we have done pretty well. And we haven't got 10 tight ends on our... I don't know what happened last year where we thought 10 tight ends was a reasonable amount of tight ends to have on a 50-man team.
You've gone for three quarterbacks instead this time round.
I think the key thing with like Ryan Pace is he's so unpredictable, and you know he's had a good draft in terms of getting Justin Fields, but then if you look at some of the stuff he's done in the off season, like cutting Kyle Fuller, Claire mentioned like cap space, he's cut like a 2-time pro cornerback in Kyle Fuller, and he's replaced him with Desmond Trufant, who was utterly appalling for us in like one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. And then I think my favourite Bears moment of the off-season was all of this stuff around Russell Wilson and trying to trade for Wilson and all these kind of like leaks. And then they wait till the start of free agency and their social media team tweets out a picture of Andy Dalton with QB1, which must have been the most underwhelming tweet for Bears fans who are hoping for better news.
It was so bad. I tweeted out. I was a very salty Bears fan. And Jeff Reinbold actually commented on some of his social media stuff that like Claire is not a happy bunny. And I actually got mentioned on the NFL Show podcast because I had just got what the.
Do you genuinely think that Pace and Nagy are going to be there next year, though? Because I don't. I get the impression that this is their last.
This is their... We have to make the playoffs absolute minimum and be confident in the playoffs, like not one and done at the dance.
Oh, well, that's them then gone.
Yeah. So that is then we have to do it, or we utterly have to, on two occasions... rinse the Packers, I think, is there. And I'm not deliberately doing that because, you know, I'm a Bears fan, but they have to show improvement immediately. And the thing that I'm a little bit scared about is because their bums are on the hot seat, Fields will go in too early. I'm much more of a fan of, like, all the best barbecue takes time. How many top performing, Super Bowl winning, long-term franchise quarterbacks get thrown in the deep end in their rookie season?
Yeah. No, I kind of agree. I think we've talked about this on previous podcasts where the quarterbacks that tend to go on to really make an impact are the ones that at least
not have, thrown in.
Yeah, have some time. You only need to look at people like Josh Rosen, where he was thrown in right at the deep end in Arizona, and it's effectively ruined his career.
Yeah, he's a bust now.
He's never recovered. Is it four teams in now, and he's still not even a starter?
Yeah, but I mean, as long as we're all accepting that Justin Fields is just a poor man's Kellen Mond, then we're fine.
Get on. I'd like to leave this podcast immediately. This show's
over. Obviously, Charles, you've heard all this. Everyone's still in envy, but they all thought we were going to close Green Bay. Or are we calling it the Green Bay 13-3 because of Aaron Rodgers only? And when he goes to Jeopardy in about 2 weeks, you'll be at the bottom of the division.
I'm obviously out of the country at the moment, and I'm not really caught up with the latest developments. But I was wondering if there are any other teams in the NFC North apart from Green Bay, because I don't think Green Bay are that good. I just think it's the lack of opposition that makes them better. And sorry, I'd just like to add at this moment, can I just ask if Stuart's had a haircut?
I have. Do you like it? Or did it just for
I
you?
I like it. No, good. Good. It makes you look happier. Generally. Yeah.
I see that you've not had a haircut, though. You still look like a 90-year-old woman.
I'm on the road at the moment, so I've got an excuse.
So, Charles, obviously, you're saying that you think the North's weaker, or is it? Do you think it's just the schedules as well last year, because the NFC North had a lot tougher schedule than previous years as well. But the Packers were 13-3, but there was some games which could have gone either way, and it might have not been 13-3.
Well, not last season, but the season before was unbelievable that they got the record that they did, and they got properly shown up. I think I've said this before, properly shown up on two occasions by the 49ers, because they showed them for what they really were. This season, I mean, they kind of started off this last season the same as the end of the season before, so they were lucky to be going anywhere. But I did think they really started to play, and they showed, despite the fact people say, oh, they've got no real offense, they've got some above average wide receivers who are good at doing certain things, and they all kind of gel together. The problem that Green Bay really got, though, which was shown up by the 49ers, the season before, is they've got a very, very poor or very average defense.
Greg Rosenthal tweeted out just after like the whole latest Rodgers soak thing, you know, saying like, you know, Rodgers hasn't got any help. And then Greg Rosenthal tweeted, apart from the Pro Bowl center, the Pro Bowl wide receiver, the top, you know, top three running back in the league.
Like eight other assets that got mentioned, basically.
Yeah. I think they've got some very diverse talents, and I think that this Marquez Valdes-Scantling, if he can just learn to catch the ball more regularly, he'll be absolutely
every wide receiver, though, can't you?
Well, I know you can, but when you've got
for a wide receiver who's been able to catch.
When you've got Devontae Adams all the time, and everyone speaks so highly of him, and then you just throw to this MVS, it's just such an exciting offense. But he's got a lot to learn.
Yeah, for me, what the Packers have missed really is, and I think we've talked about this in the playoff games, is that they're just missing an element of experience.
What's that?
I don't know. Ian arguing with his wall, it sounded like. I think what the Packers have missed is a little bit of experience in that. Behind Adams is a bit of experience. I think it showed in the playoffs last year with some of the miscommunications with the wide receivers, and especially that one that cost them a touchdown in the playoffs. They needed a little bit of experience.
Lazard,
who basically wasn't even watching on a play. And with Rodgers as a quarterback, who is always going to extend a play, the wide receivers really need to be tuned in to making sure that they're playing to the whistle. And I think let them down. And I think the frustration from Rodgers is that they've got Adams, but outside of that, they've got a very inexperienced and mistake-happy wide receiver group. And I'm not even drafting one. I think they could have dipped into free agency and just got somebody with a bit of experience. I know they've got Funchess, but we'll see whether
The Twitter sphere is a light with, you know, Julius Jones to the pack, and you're like, whatever. They have not got the pennies for that, and Julius Jones is on the way out. But you can totally see, like, if I was a Packers, I need to have a hot shower, some bleach now. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, sort of thing. You know, the three of us are all going to moan and go, aren't they? But they're brilliant. They've got it dialed in to a point where they don't have to worry about the rest of the division, which is a little bit sad.
But that won't last forever.
But I think
they're not brilliant. They're not brilliant. They're on the edge.
I think they do need to worry about the rest of the division this year. I really do.
Definitely.
I think the rest of the teams in this division have taken a significant step forward, whereas I think the Packers have probably taken a step backwards.
Yeah,
and at least standing still.
Yeah, and we ran them last year in the games that we played. I mean, we were dog awful against quite a lot of other teams in the year, but I like what the Lions have done this year with going BPA in the draft. They've added a lot of talent. A lot of question marks around Goff, but I don't think he's there for the long term. I'm interested to see what happens with the Bears and the bits and pieces that they've added in the draft. I think Fields will probably be on the field probably no later than week six, I think. And I think that'll come down to the fact that Nagy is literally hanging on to his job.
Yeah, which that genuinely worries me.
I think the only way that he won't is if Dalton has a reasonable start to the season.
Yes, I do not want him going out on the field week one against Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
I really don't want that.
I do feel sorry for Allen Robinson because he's never really had a quarterback to throw to him.
No. I think the big question for the Bears as well is their defense has bailed them out like for the last two seasons with a terrible offense.
Since the 80s, be honest.
When you look at the Bears team that won the division in 2018, I mean, I'm not quite sure how like Akeem Hicks is going to be feeling after he's been shopped around all off season for a trade, and I'm sure Khalil Mack's probably not very happy as well in terms of like how things have gone. So I'm not sure they can count on their defense to like bail them out again. I mean, when the Bears' defense is good, I mean, look at the way they just dismembered Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on that Thursday night game, which must be your highlight, Claire.
I still have that on my Sky HD box and absolutely refuse to delete it.
Yeah, I mean, it was brutal. But yeah, can they keep doing that?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, but I mean,
Richard, just before we go away from the subject of Fields, can we all have a bet on what week he's going to start?
That's a good one. I'm going week six.
I would say probably between week five and six. It's all going to depend on
week three. I reckon he'll go.
He always gets in before me. That was mine week three.
It's not anymore, is it?
No, so I'm going to week two.
I'm going week eight. I'm going to go a bit conservative. Week eight. Halfway through the season, nearly.
What do you reckon, Steve?
Let's have a look. Week four against the Rams, I reckon.
Steve's cheating. He's actually looking at...
I'm just looking at their schedule as well.
He's doing background work.
I'm just looking at their schedule.
Unbelievable.
Trying to work out when their bye week is.
Yes, so that's what I'm literally looking at. Week 10 is our bye week. We follow that up by the Ravens.
Oh, he's in before week 10.
Dalton will never make
it. Before week 10. Yeah.
Stuart, what have I told you before? He can't play on the bye week.
Yeah, I know, but I was thinking, for me, I think they genuinely might give it up until the bye week and see where they're at after 10 games.
Like, they might put him in late in week 9 against the Steelers, give him the week off to get ready for the Ravens, or we get a Thanksgiving treat in week 11 and get him on the field at the Lions.
Looking at that schedule, though, it's quite easy to think that you could be 0-4 going into the Bengals game. He could be starting then.
Yeah, that schedule looks horrible on
the
start.
Yeah, we've got the third worst schedule across the season, second or third. And I do not know how this has happened, but the Buccaneers, the winners of the Super Bowl, have got the second or third easiest.
It's because it quite often happens.
I want to know who Tom Brady is sleeping with, basically.
It's because they can't play themselves. So other teams are playing both. Yeah. No, they're clusters. Because they can't play themselves, it automatically makes their schedule look easier because the other teams are playing them. So it makes other teams' schedules look more difficult. But they all schedule things ridiculous anyway because it's all about the previous season. It's not about the season you actually
played. Yeah, that is something I do.
Yeah, I never pay a lot of attention to that at all.
There's going to be so much pressure. Any hope at all? Sorry, just saying, does nobody give Andy Dalton any hope at all?
What I was going to say is there's so much pressure on Andy Dalton to perform. If he makes the slightest error, the fans are going to put so much pressure on to bring Fields in. It's going to be unbearable.
Yeah, I mean, I look back at Dalton when he was at Bengals, when they were that playoff team, and he's a good player when he's got good pieces around him. He had a particularly decent O-line at the Bengals, and he had some decent weapons. Obviously, he had AJ Green, and I just look at the Bears, and I'm unsure about the O-line at the minute, and especially at left tackle. And I think his season last year behind a very ropey Cowboys O-line showed that he really needs the protection. He's not going to be the one of these that's going to be dancing around in the pocket and escaping.
Mitch was more mobile. Out of the two, I genuinely was baffled by what we did, genuinely.
Especially when you've got Nick Foles, because everybody seems to be counting out Nick Foles and you're paying him something like £9 million next year. So, yeah. I mean, he's got to be, you know, in and around. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Dalton does have a bad start and it's actually Nick Foles that comes up and plays rather than Fields.
Yeah.
You've got £20 million tied up in two quarterbacks who ain't going to be the future of your franchise.
Yeah, I know. But that's you know, to the point that Claire made earlier, that is your number one position in the team.
Yeah.
And they threw a lot of darts in free agency to try and get at least something to keep them going in the short term. And I personally think that they overspent on Foles. I think he was good in the system that Eagles provided. And I knew he was never going to recreate that anywhere else because he didn't even create that when he was at the Eagles in the previous seasons.
Going from the draft, guys... Steve, how did you think Detroit's draft went? Were you happy with your first round and the subsequent round picks? Is it what you were needing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the draft every year, you know, we call it the Lions Super Bowl. I think I'm really pleased with how we came out of it. And we've brought in Brad Holmes from the Rams as GM. And this is the guy that we're kind of like pinning our hopes on. He's meant to be the draft expert. I think we had a difficult situation with our number one pick because it was really difficult with the whole kind of like QB sort of fight that was going on to know where that Atlanta were going to pick with number four and what the Bengals were going to do. So I think for Saul to drop to us at number seven was like an absolute win because it's really clear that the plan is to like rebuild from the trenches. So Saul is a piece of the jigsaw that gives the Lions a really solid O-line with like Frank Ragnow at center, Taylor Decker at left guard. I mean, that should be a really solid O-line for Goff to work with. And it's just a shame because, you know, Stafford has probably never had an O-line that good in all of his time when he was at the Lions. I think our day two picks are probably the key because our defense has been just utterly appalling for 3 years now. And the two key things, absolutely no pass rush, which just has just meant that our secondary has just been burned time and time again. It's the QBs have had so much time to throw. So we've brought in Michael Brockers in defensive tackle in free agency. And then Onzeriki, the defensive tackle from Washington, and Aleem McNeil, defensive tackle from North Carolina. McNeil's a massive run stuffer, very explosive. Onzeriki, I think, will provide pressure from the inside. I see him, you know, I think they're trying to sort of view him as a kind of like, you know, potential Aaron Donald, that pressure from the inside, which we've just never had. And obviously we've re-signed Romeo Okwara on the edge. So potentially that gives us some pass rush. And then the other pick on the second day was Melon Fonwu at corner. And because we'd picked Jeff Okuda at number three last year, and he had such a disappointing first season. We got some other corner, like Trufant, in at corner, and just never ever like made any impact. We never had anyone that looked like they were going to make a play on defense. So I think Melifonwu has got a lot of potential, and that could be a good draft for us.
And that, just going back to Melifonwu, he was a first round pick in some mock drafts as well, wasn't he? You picked him up in the third round,
fourth. I think he was our fourth round. Pick in the third round. Yeah.
100. I'm just looking at 101st pick of the draft, and yeah. In some mock drafts, he was going in the first round. So that's a great pick.
Also, yeah. Levi Onwuzike, though, he was in some people's first round as well. So
that's in the second round. Good point. Yeah.
Do you think that Sewell will play a left tackle then? Do you not think they'll play Decker at left tackle? Because you've just paid him, haven't you?
I think we'll keep Decker at left tackle, certainly for the first season. And I think we'll put Sewell at right tackle and move Vitai inside to right guard.
Yeah, I mean, that's, for me, I mean, Sewell is a franchise left tackle, isn't he, really, let's be honest. And I think, as soon as you can kind of blood him into that left tackle role, I think the better long term. But
although it's Decker's had a solid season at left tackle.
I know, but it's one of those where you could not afford to not pay Decker on the assumption that Sewell was going to drop to you in the draft. So yeah. I think the Lions have, like you said, they're kind of building from the trenches outwards. And I actually like what they did in the draft. I would have liked to see them maybe keep hold of Jones, or even, I mean, they were never going to keep Golladay, but Marvin Jones, just to, because I know they've got Amon St. Brown, I think he's a really good talent.
Yeah.
I think he got in the fourth round as well, but I think they need some other help.
Yeah, and if you think back two seasons, you had our offense through the air was Stafford throwing to Golden Tate, Kenny Golladay, and Marvin Jones Jr. And now we've got Jared Goff throwing to Tyrell Williams, Breshad Perriman, and whoever else is there. Yeah,
Amon St. Brown. And to me, Amon St. Brown out of that three is your number one. And yeah. He's the rookie. And I think that's what's worrying. And knowing Goff, he was not great throwing to three particularly good wide receivers at the Rams. So that's what worries me a little bit. He might have all the time in the world with a great O-line, but it's still Goff throwing it in it.
Yeah, someone's got to catch the ball at the end of that time. Yeah.
But I think if you look back to Goff's first two seasons at the Rams, he was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you know, he got to the playoffs, got to a Super Bowl, and put up some really good numbers in 2017, 2018. But obviously, you know, this is the problem with a coach like McVay. You know, once you get on the wrong side of him, you know, it was kind of only going to end with one winner. And for whatever reason, McVay's kind of had enough of Goff.
But I think McVay made him because if you watched Hard Knocks, Goff is not a clever person at all.
No,
so McVay actually came in and reproduced his college playbook to work it around Goff. And it's whether...
He ran a very QB-friendly playbook, and he was basically scheming things to suit Goff's traits.
And that'd be my fear for Goff at the Lions now next season.
And if the Lions want to get the best out of him, they're going to have to do that again. They're going to have to basically scheme to fit his strong.
You're going to have to dumb it down, basically. That's the way I feel about it.
But I think the positive is that we've got a really strong O-line, and we've got also a good running back core now.
Which will help DeAndre Swift
and Jamal Williams, who I think is a really good pickup from the Packers.
Yeah, I won't lie, I was a little bit upset that you let Kerryon Johnson go because I actually quite liked him.
Yeah, us too. Yeah, we loved him too.
Forgetting his role, Williams. Hockinson as well.
Jamal Williams is a great pickup. And he only got the hump because he got overlooked at the Packers. I think he's a sterling buy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I was surprised that the Packers let him go. We love Kerryon Johnson. He's a great guy in the locker room. Really good on kind of in terms of interacting with the fans, and a great pass blocker as well. But I think when he had that knee injury, I think in his second year, it really took a big chunk of his juice. And I just don't think he probably has got the durability to kind of be a top running back.
But I mean,
So anyway, let's talk Goff. Let's have some predictions on Goff. Come on, because everyone's expecting him to be a big failure. And come on, what's he going to do this season?
For me, the Lions have played that trade particularly well, because they got an extra first round pick as effectively a cap dump. And I think what they'll do is they'll just ride that contract out, and I think that Detroit will move on from him unless he does something miraculous.
Could it be the big surprise in the NFC North?
No.
I think if you look at someone who I would compare Goff to, it's someone like Ryan Tannehill. So not the most spectacular player, not someone who does a lot with his legs, but just like a decent pocket passer. And I think if you design the playbook, you mix it up, we've got a strong O-line to protect him. I think Goff can be very functional for the next couple of years. We've got two first-round picks, one next year, one the year after. And potentially, if Goff stinks, then that's the place to draft a replacement. Yeah. But we've also got a decent backup. I think we've got Tim Boyd from the Packers, who was there number two behind Rodgers. So I'm not worried about Goff. It's for me, it's probably our defense still is my concern, and the wide receiver group.
I mean, the interesting thing with Goff for me is that he came to the Rams with all the pressure on him, and now it's the complete opposite. He's got no. I would say he's got no pressure on him because everyone's expecting him to fail. And we may see a different Jared Goff next season.
The absolutely crazy thing here is that Goff, out of every quarterback in the NFC North, is under the least pressure.
Yeah.
You've got Fields, you know, like potentially being thrown to the Wolves at the Bears. You've got Cousins with like a fire lit under him with his replacement been drafted. And then you've got the Rodgers situation in Green Bay. So remarkably, we've lost Stafford, but actually our QB drama is probably going to be the least in the league.
And that said, I think just the general trade and the move that the Lions did, I think is the right direction, because they're effectively gaining that draft capital so that they can build around. And whether Goff is or isn't the answer, they've at least given themselves a chance to build a competitive roster with those picks that they collected.
Yeah, and getting that business done early in January was absolutely key. Because if we'd have been talking about Stafford now, is he going to go? Is he not going to go? It would have just been horrific. But to do it like they did, which was a really good, like, clean break, mutual. I think the Lions organization came out of it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
And do you think Stafford will perform at the Rams?
Absolutely. I mean, he's for me, I kind of put him just outside the top five QBs in the league. I don't think he's up there with like Mahomes or Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers, but he's not far behind. And you only need to look at some of his performances this season where he's absolutely torched defenses when he's playing quickly. Yeah. I don't know if you remember another favorite moment was the Todd Gurley touchdown by mistake when the Falcons were 2 points up against us and there was about a minute left on the clock. And all Gurley had to do was just, collapse on near the touchline and run out the clock, and he mistakenly scored a touchdown, gave us the ball back with I think 50 seconds, and Stafford just went straight through the Falcons defense in about 8 plays. And that's what Stafford can do. And I think, if I was in the NFC West, I'd be very worried, because there's some ropey defenses in the NFC West, and I think Stafford's gonna have a really good time.
I think he's underrated.
I really do. And I've seen some of the performances in what, no offence, but was effectively a very bad Lions team. And effectively raised the level of the Lions team.
Yeah.
Likewise, he did have a very good wide receiving group to work with, but he had a very, very horrific O-line to work behind. And I think now he's going to a QB-friendly coach in McVay. I think you could see something very special from Stafford.
The last two seasons, our playbook has been first down, Adrian Peterson 2 yard run. Second down, Adrian Peterson 2 yard run. Then Stafford ends up with the ball, and every single defensive player, no one is going to throw it, and yet we've still won some games. So I think that's a testament to like Stafford's ability.
Yeah, as a Bears fan who watched that for quite a few, you would always worry if you were not, 10 points ahead, he could come back in the fourth quarter. You always had to worry about him. He was so clutch, and he blatantly got a lot of disrespect. And the thing with him going to the Rams have got some run play as well. So it's not all on his back. He is not going to have to carry that team the way that he practically did at the Lions sort of thing. So I think it's a good move for him. I think the NFC West is now the hottest division in the NFC. It's the most improved, I think. And we'll potentially have two playoff teams from that because of how well they have drafted and free agency and danced this season.
That's possible. So, well, I can go to both Adrian and Stuart on this. So Minnesota, obviously, it's probably, is it his last attempt to get it right this year as coach?
I believe so, yeah. I think he's had enough time. We've had some good players on the team and we just haven't got it done. You know, like I say, last season was diabolical, really. But to speak of the draft quroquely, you know, I think it was a stroke of genius by our GM, you know, to get Christian Darrisaw. You know, we dropped down to 23. I would have happily taken him at 14. We dropped down to 23 and we still got him. And then we got two extra picks out of it as well. So, fantastic piece of business. But the Vikings did a lot of their business pre-season. You know, Dalvin Tomlinson coming in. And then also we've got Michael Pierce coming back, which is we haven't seen him play in a Vikings jersey yet, which is exciting. Danielle Hunter and Anthony Barr are both back. So for me this season, yeah, I think they've got the weapons there to do the job. And if they don't get it done, there needs to be some changes made, either at quarterback or maybe Mike Zimmer has to go. You know, I don't know. Stuart, what do you think?
I mean, I think the draft works well for us. I wouldn't say it was a stroke of genius because the trade back was, I would say, worked in our favour in the fact that people teams that we thought would have taken a tackle, such as the Raiders, ended up taking a tackle like Leatherwood that wasn't as highly rated as we had Darrisaw. And I think there's other teams in there that could have taken a tackle that didn't. So I think we got a little bit lucky with the way the draft board fell after we traded back. So I can only assume that we had multiple targets in that first round when we traded back from 14. But the fact that we got a player that we would have taken at 14 at 23 after getting some more capital obviously worked in favour for us. I think the pressure is more on Zimmer than it is on Spielman. I think Spielman continues to do his magic behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And he's a very solid GM, and I think the draft showed that. My worry about Zimmer is that he doesn't seem to have a real grasp on what's going on the offensive side of the ball. He seems to be a lot of defense focused, and our defense last year was atrocious. And I think he let too much experience leave the building, especially in the cornerback room. You know, letting people like Xavier Rhodes walk, and then Mac Alexander left, Jaron Curse left, and I think we let a lot of experience in that secondary walk away, and we never really replaced it. And this year, I think he's addressed that by bringing in Peterson to just bring a bit more experience.
A locker room leader, basically.
I think that's what they've tried to do, and especially by bringing Tomlinson in and obviously Pierce back, is they've just tried to bring some actual proper leaders back into the team, which we severely lacked last year.
Yeah, I mean, last year's the corner position last year was embarrassing at times. You know, the rookie was getting schooled on every play near enough.
But the good thing about that is that it's shown that we found some gems. So Cam Dantzler was probably our best cornerback last year. So, and we picked him up in the third round, I think it was last year. And he outperformed our first round cornerback, Gladney. And obviously, I don't want to get into the twos and fros of what's going to happen with that lad. But yeah, I think the draft worked well for us. I don't think we can move on from Kirk Cousins. I think we are stuck with him for at least the next two seasons.
Well, they had no intention of trading up to try and get a quarterback. Because if you look at last season, how it ended, if we'd have lost that last game of the season, we would have maybe got pick 7 or 8. And so we could have taken Justin Fields in hindsight. But obviously, that was, you know, that wasn't to be. But
I think Cousins' contract absolutely watertight. I don't think there's any way the Vikings can get out of it for the next
and
two
I don't years. I don't think that Mike Zimmer wants to get rid of him either. I think he's his guy and he wants to keep him.
It'd be interesting to see what happens. I mean, we've got him this year and next, and I think next year he's got something like a £42 million cap hit, so there's absolutely no way that he's going anywhere. So we got him for the next 2 years. And for me, this next 2 years, if we don't do something, then we would probably end up going into a rebuild. I'm not even sure how long some of the our experienced people like Anthony Barr or even Daniil Hunter after this year will hang around, if I'm being brutally honest.
I don't think they will. You know, we can't. We've had a rebuild, and, you know, if we come out of this with Kirk Cousins and not winning anything again, you know, into another rebuild, this is all the Vikings seem to do, is rebuild and rebuild, and we just never seem to get it right. So yeah.
This is the strongest roster I've seen us have for a while.
Definitely. If we can't do something this season, there's something wrong.
Yeah. How bad did the sit-outs affect the Vikings, do you think, last year?
Big time, yeah. Big time. I mean,
it wasn't just the sit-outs. It was the injuries that we sustained early on. So the injuries to Hunter, his herniated disc, and then obviously the issue with Barr. That's two of your leaders on defence, and we just never, ever recovered from it.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Pierce was a big one. Obviously, he played well at the Giants. You know, it's good to see him back this season. But yeah, definitely Daniil Hunter. But also as well, towards the end of the season, Daniil Hunter was, there was all this contract talk as well. He wasn't happy. He wanted more money. Was he going? Was he staying? And that was frustrating. And that was, you know, you don't need that in the locker room.
You sad to see Rudolph go?
I agree what you're saying, Stu. You know, I didn't like the way they treated him the last two seasons. You know, he was like a glorified locker. He's worth so much more that as a person and a player. He's been a great player for the Vikings. He just wasn't used right.
I agree with that. I think in the last 2 years we underutilized him. I think he's probably one of the greatest red zone threats that we had in the team, and we just didn't use him. But I think it's probably the right time for him to move on, because I think Irv Smith is a very good player, and I think his ability to stand in there, and obviously Conklin is, as a blocking tight end, he's probably up there with one of the best in the league. So I think it was time for him to move on.
I just wish he'd not gone to the Giants. I wish he'd gone somewhere where he had a real shot at getting a Super Bowl ring, because I think he deserved that. I would have preferred him somewhere other than the Giants, but, you know, like I say, he's gonna play well wherever he goes, as long as they use him right.
I think on the positive side, though, last year you picked up the fourth-ranked wide receiver in the draft in Justin Jefferson. And I think you've got the best one out of the whole class.
Absolutely,
you know, had an absolutely phenomenal season. And if they can harness, you know, him with Thielen and with Dalvin Cook still, I mean, Dalvin Cook had a devastating season until, you know, I think he got injured towards the back end. And, you know, Kirk Cousins on his day is a fantastic pass for the ball. I think it's...
Yeah, he's very accurate.
Yeah, and just talking about people like Goff and Tannehill earlier, I think Cousins is the same. They've got to find a scheme for him that just protects him from throwing interceptions.
I think last year we didn't do Kirk Cousins any favours. I mean, my biggest bugbear about Kirk Cousins is that he's paid as a top three quarterback in the NFL, and I don't see the productivity out of him to warrant the money. It's not that I think he's a bad quarterback. It's just that I think we overpay him for what he gives us.
If you look at his stats in his career, he's had between 52% and 70% completion rate. That's as high as he's ever got, 70%. You know, so for him to be a top level quarterback getting paid that kind of money, he needs to be higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and think that last year we didn't give him any favours at all. We had some shocking all linemen on there. You know, Dakota Dozier was graded probably one of the worst guards in the league. We had Drew Samir again, who was probably graded near the bottom, and we didn't give him any protection at all. And he's not a quarterback, like I said about Dalton, he's not a quarterback that's going to sit in there and it's not going to extend plays. He's going to go through his reads. He's going to do bootlegs, but he's not going to sit in there like Rodgers does and extend plays to have the time in the pocket to be able to do what he needs to do. And this year, it's like the Vikings have twigged and we've gone out there. We've got a franchise left tackle. We've gone also in the third round and we got Wyatt Davis, who was projected to go in the first again from Ohio State, a great right guard. So we've actually gone out there and we've done that. So this year, with an O-line in place, This is it.
There's no excuses this year, you know.
Right. So the question is, we've gone through all the teams now. So come on, let's have some of these bold predictions. who's going to finish top? Who's going to be the winners? Who's going to be the losers?
Well, I mean, for the, it all depends on what's happening with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're trying to bypass the Green Bay situation there.
Listen, listen. I'll give you two bets. I'll give you a buy with Rodgers. So two bets. Mm-hmm. The Packers with Rodgers and the Packers without Rodgers, because it still throws up interesting questions even if he's not there.
Yeah.
So come on, who's going to start?
I mean, I'll go first. I genuinely believe even if Rodgers is there, I think the strength of our roster at the minute, if we don't come top of the division, I think there'll be a lot of people getting sacked at the Vikings.
Yeah.
Just based on the strength of our roster. I actually think that if Rodgers is there, I would imagine that they'd be coming second in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I like that prediction.
If Rodgers so if Rodgers isn't there,
then Blake Bortles at the helm.
And Blake Bortles at the helm, I think they'll be somewhere near the bottom.
Okay. Good.
I actually think that Detroit will probably beat out Bears. That's my gut feeling. And I think it could be a tough year for the Bears. I think they might.
It's going to be awful. But
my concern for the Bears is, I think the Bears could have a good year depending on what they do with Fields. If they bring him in week six and he hits the ground running, then it could be a very exciting division. But I'm worried it won't be.
It could be a good year, but a good year is not going to cut it against how much better everyone else has got.
Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Who's a winner, who's a loser?
So if Rodgers stays, it's going to be a very boring thing of the Packers at the top again. But Vikings come second. If Rodgers goes, please, can I write my letter to Santa right now? If he goes, I then think Vikings top then, but I definitely think either way, Bears last.
I think if, like in Steve's hoping as well, if the Detroit D stop conceding the points, they're going to have a quarterback there who's not going to need to score 30, 40 points to win a game. And I think that's what Stafford's had to struggle with for the last 3 years at least.
Vikings are saying exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think I maybe got a slightly different take on it. I think if Rodgers is still there, I mean, effectively, nothing's happened at the Packers for the last 2 years. And I think their record's 26-6. So if Rodgers is still there, I think Green Bay will probably finish 11-6, 12-5 and win the division at a canter again. I think without Rodgers, I think the NFC North is like last year's NFC East, because effectively the Lions are in rebuild. I mean, the Lions are in full rebuild. The Vikings are pretty much in certainly defensive rebuild. The Bears have got, you know, some amazing potential, but also so many holes on the roster. So I can kind of see if Jordan Love or Blake Bortles is QB in the Packers next year, I can see them winning the division at like with an 8-9 record.
Definitely.
And wouldn't that be bad for football? But I have to say, so, you know, Steve, what do you think about the Lions playing football in January? Do you know what that meant? Because obviously we're now in a 7 someone had to get the joke in. I mean, when was the last time the Lions had January football? And I'm not being an ass.
It was when the Cowboys beat them in the first round of playoffs, wasn't it?
We've not won a playoff game since the 90s.
Wow.
Is that God Almighty?
I was at secondary school.
I think we had an appearance, I think 2013, 2014, when Jim Caldwell was our head coach. We didn't progress beyond the first stage.
I remember that game.
I've got a friend who's quite, we're in a Facebook group that's for NFL fans, but it's a bit cheeky and we're allowed to be a bit rude sort of thing. And one of the admins is a Lions fan, and it's like, oh, we're going to have, you know, January football. And I said, if you win either of your football games in January, either game, I will donate 20 quid to the charity of your choosing.
Well, I mean, that's fine because the last games of the season are always in January.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you will technically have January football.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Just won't mean anything.
Yes, our
season last year finished at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think ours finished after the first four games.
Yeah. Right, listen, I'm not letting Ian or Stuart, Ian and Richard off the hook. I want the predictions.
I'll do mine, but I've just got one little fact that the Lions aren't the worst with playoffs. There's a thing that I read a while ago that no Cincinnati Bengals fan has ever sent a text saying we won a playoff game because mobile phones weren't around the last time that they won a playoff game.
We have Andy Dalton on our team.
Yeah. Well, right, shall I go first then, Rich, before you?
Yeah, go on then.
I think the Packers have been very lucky for the last 2 years. Now, I've watched quite a bit because, unfortunately, I'm friends with Charles. I end up watching a lot of Packers games, and they have been very poor, apart from Aaron Rodgers getting them out of a hole again and again and again and again. So without Rodgers, they'll finish bottom of the division. With him, I don't think they'll win it either, because I think he'll be arsey. Vikings have got Kirk Cousins, so they'll mess up. Lions, quarterback problem. I'm taking Bears to win the division because they've got less quarterback problems than the other three.
Less quarterback.
Are you being held? Are you being held hostage right now? Is that your? Are you asking for help? Over? Is someone feeling, got a gun to your head? What's going on?
I'm feeling sorry for the Bears. You've always got to have on anything. You've got to have somebody who picks. Everybody's picking on the Bears, so I'm taking the Bears to win the division.
Okay. Right. Ian, we're picking on them for a reason, though.
Yeah. I'd rather it's honest. The Bears are going to be the worst.
Charles, didn't you say bold predictions?
That's not stupid.
It's honest prediction. I'm the one who's drinking tonight, aren't I?
I'm more concerned about Ian stealing my thunder all the time. I'm not saying Bears are going to win the division. I'm not going to do my picks until the end.
What? They're going to win the Super Bowl? How crazy are you?
I'm genuinely excited about the Bears this year. But anyway, Richard isn't getting off the hook. Come on, Richard.
So, with Rodgers, they'll probably fluke away with some unattractive football and win the division. But I think it's been addressed. I think the Vikings have addressed in both areas, and I think they showed forms last year. And I think with Justin Jefferson, Phelan, running back game, I think Vikings will win the division. Even potentially with Rodgers there, they could still win it, but it'll be close. Then it's probably going to be Detroit third with Rodgers there. If Rodgers isn't there, Detroit could be second in the division. And unfortunately, I know Ryan agrees that Bears are in rebuild mode, even though they're not, but they're struggling to get their identity. Maybe the Bears need to have the bad season to get rid of the coaching, and then a new coach comes in to develop Fields. Maybe that's what's needed.
So I've got a question for the Vikings fans. So we're talking about Justin Fields. So here's a question for the Vikings fans, right? The Vikings' first four games are the Bengals, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Browns. If they are 0-4 after those four games, is Kirk Cousins in at quarterback or is it Kellen Mond?
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, absolutely. They're not going to drop Kirk Cousins. He's not going anywhere. Like Stuart said, he's not going anywhere. So, yeah, Kirk's there for the entire season, unless he gets injured.
He went 0-5 last year and they didn't drop him then. So I don't suspect they'll drop him now.
But they didn't have an alternative last year.
They did. They could have quite easily put Mannion in, and we had Jake Browning on the practice squad, so we had other options. If they were going to prove a point that they wanted to drop Kirk Cousins, whoever was number two, they could have made that point last year. And I think we've got too much money tied up in Kirk Cousins for them to even open that box of.
Yeah.
For me, Callum Mond is a year three starter, which is after Kirk Cousins' contract runs down.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that's the way that franchises should operate. They should at least give these rookies a chance. Whether it's 2 years or whether it's 1 year, they should give them, like, you know, Mahomes sat for a while, didn't he, before he came in behind Alex Smith. So for me, we're just doing a little bit of future planning, which it's nice to see. I you know, we beat the Packers last year and we were awful. And, you know, and my worry is that I don't see that they've got much better than they were last year, and we've got considerably better than we were last year. And that's why I think we'll top out the division.
Okay, yeah, Charles. Oh, God, I was trying to get away with it. Right, I think, not that anyone cares, but I think that with Rodgers, I think Green Bay are getting close to being a very good offensive line. I disagree with what Ian says about him being average for the last two seasons. I thought the season before last they were average, and I think they really got it going in the second half, so much so that with a bit of luck, they'd have been in the Super Bowl last season. So I think with Rodgers, I think they'll take another step up, and I think they'll win the division. I think Minnesota will blow out because of Cousins, because I think he is capable of brilliance. He just can't sustain it. I think he's a very good quarterback, but can't sustain it. I'm genuinely excited about the Bears because I want to see Justin Fields on, because I think Dalton will just
be... Charles, you can't even say that without laughing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I agree with that. I'm excited about Justin Fields, but I just don't think that all the pieces that are there around him for them to win as a team.
Yeah, but wait. Hang on. Sorry, let me finish and then I can shut up for the night. I am genuinely excited about Detroit because I want Goff to perform, because I think he is capable. He's capable. He might not be the brightest spark, but I think, you know, I just think that everyone's expecting him to fail. And maybe Detroit will still finish bottom of the league, but I think Goff might surprise a few people.
Yeah, and to be honest, I kind of agree about the point about Kirk Cousins, but I don't think he'll implode in the season. I think he's more likely to implode in the playoffs. Okay. Yeah. I think he's more likely to get us to the playoffs and then in the big games not have a great game. That's more likely for Kirk Cousins. He'll probably, when he's flying under the radar, that's when he's playing his best. But as soon as he gets put on TV, that's when it all goes Pete Tong for him.
Mm. And does anyone think Blake Bortles can perform for the Packers at short notice?
No. Well, Richard does, because he once drafted him first overall in a fantasy league.
I did too once.
Need to air out someone's dirty laundry like that. That is harsh.
All I'm saying, Stuart, that year he did get to AFC Championship game and then made all the wrong decisions.
Yeah, but he didn't help you, did he, in fantasy? He didn't help me. He was horrific. That's the only playoff game where I've watched where I've thought a quarterback was 100% out of his depth. I don't think I saw him make a pass. He just kept running. He looked scared.
Well, I'd like to, just in ending for me, I'd like to say this could be a close division this season. I could be totally wrong, but I think the bottom teams have got better. I think Vikings have stayed where they are. I just think the problem is Green Bay. Despite what you say, Stuart, I think Green Bay will be better with Rodgers, and big question marks over him without him.
Yeah, I mean, my final take on this is that I think this year, I think it'll be between, if Rodgers is there, it'll be between Vikings and Packers. My concern is that the way that the Detroit are going, with the way that they've obviously reassessed their backroom staff and the direction that they've taken in this year's draft and the capital that they managed to gain, and then obviously the Bears getting Fields, is that for me, those two teams seem to have a brighter future than Vikings and Packers as it stands at the minute. I know we drafted a quarterback in the third round, but I think there's a lot of other pieces that could quite easily fall apart for Vikings, such as Hunter leaving, you know, Harrison Smith's not getting any younger. So a lot of our key players could potentially not be there in a couple of years, whereas I only see Detroit getting stronger. So in 2 or 3 years' time, we could quite easily be, unless we do something, quite easily be nearer the bottom.
Yeah, we're building our roster for, you know, with an extra first-round pick for the next 2 years, we're building our roster, I think, for like 2023, 2024. So I'd be quite happy with like 6-11 this season. 6-11 and we beat the Bears, and I'll be more than happy with that.
Bears on Thanksgiving.
No, I want the Thanksgiving game. It's on TV. And it's one of the games I stay up for.
Don't forget, Claire, we almost beat you twice last. It was a DeAndre Swift drop pass in the end zone. Otherwise, we would have beaten you twice.
Doesn't cut it, though, does it?
The NFC North, it's
are we back to being the proud black and blue division? Can we hold that title collectively as the NFC North? We back to there.
Well, I was just going to say it's maybe not the best division in football, but it's probably got the most exciting and unanswered questions going into 2021.
Good point, Richard.
Going on.
They've not all won a Super Bowl, have they? Like in one division.
We knew we'd have to get a Cowboys pun in at some point.
It's not a pun, it's a fact, isn't it? It's best division in football.
Hands down the worst division last year.
But Washington did go out in the playoffs.
Yeah, but it was a horrible division, wasn't it? Let's be honest. It was all like nobody wanted to win it last year. No, you take it.
But you say
it's all about winning Super Bowls. Did anybody in that division win a Super Bowl last year? No, they didn't.
Anyway, someone tell Ian, shut up.
Anyway, back to your division.
How do you mute people? Back to your quaint little division.
Hey, I was doing your division we're doing Ian's division another time, so he can shut right up.
I'm busy that week.
I was talking to my... I've got some friends in Michigan, and we were talking and trying to, like, compare the divisions. And my pal Eric, who's a massive Lions fan, he thinks that the reason why the NFC North are one of the best divisions... it's just because of the geography. Because if you look at the geography and you've got those, you know, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit are all about as close as you can get.
Yeah, they are proper rivalries, aren't they? It's a good point.
I think the AFC North's like similar with like three teams really close. So I always kind of compare it to him to like the sort of the Northwest in the Premier League with like United, City, Liverpool and Everton. Problem with the comparison is the Detroit Lions are always kind of like Tranmere Rovers. But other than that, it works quite well.
And the other problem as well is it's cold. It's cold. It's cold, and it's cold in all four places. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but Detroit and Minnesota are the smart ones. They've put roofs on.
Did anybody read the article, the interview that Adam Thielen did, where he absolutely bagged on Lambeau Field?
Yeah, definitely. Brilliant.
Yeah, where he basically just said it's just bleachers, it's just benches, it's just an absolute crap hole.
I have to say, as a Bears fan, I've sat through, I think it's the third coldest game in NFL history. It was so cold, my beer froze, and people were taking carpet into the game to not make sure that their shoes didn't freeze to the concrete. Can we have some heat in a retractable roof or something, people? I think it's the ugliest stadium in football. Is that bad?
I was 100% with Adam Phelan. When you actually see it, I mean, when it's got fans in it, the atmosphere is amazing and it looks amazing. But when there's no fans in it and you just see it as a stadium, it looks derelict.
It's something like a 20-year waiting list, isn't it, for season tickets?
I think when you're born, you get put on the waiting list.
Yeah,
Green
Bay. Yeah, there was a program on the way. There's, talking there's, about
yeah,
it.
40 year waiting list. Yeah, that was on.
I think they'd be able to afford to put some seats in, though, wouldn't you?
It's all there is to do.
Yeah, that's why we've never been. It's why we've never been, isn't it? Because we'll go there and not have anything else to do.
That and eat some cheese.
It's cold.
Yeah, because it's cold. We go to the southern states to watch games.
It's warm.
Yeah, Green Bay and LA, that does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely, obviously, it is the cold part. Obviously, Vikings old stadium roof collapse. It was that blooming cold with weather one year.
Yeah, I remember that.
But so, obviously, highs and lows. So, one more little high and low for the season going forward. Which team do you want to beat the most in division? I know you're all going to say the same answer here. But are we all...
say the same, are they?
Yeah, that's true. Someone's going to give a different answer. Yeah.
Okay. Three of them are going to say the same.
Well, I'm stupid enough to say the same, aren't
I? Yeah, he is. That's true. They might do.
Yeah, so you all want to beat the Bears, yeah?
I mean, for me, it all depends on the Rodgers situation. If Rodgers plays, then you've got to say that you want to beat the Packers. I mean, I always say this. I've talked to Richard about this all the time. There's a lot of people in the UK that are Packers fans just because of Rodgers. And they know Rodgers, and they don't really know anybody else who's a player on the Green Bay Packers, but they know Rodgers. And that grates on me a little bit because they're effectively just supporting one player. So I kind of want to win just because of that sometimes. But if Rodgers doesn't play, then I think it'd be too easy to just say, let's beat them. So I'd have to say the Bears after that.
Steve, who would give you the most satisfaction if you got wins at both games, home and away?
I mean, I could come up with arguments for, you know, all the teams, but it's the Bears.
Claire? I'm feeling the giveaway that we've got planned isn't going to happen.
You're going to split up maybe a win in Green Bay and then a home win against Detroit.
When Rodgers has got his like salty face on, there's just no one you want to beat more than, you know, a kind of salty, sulking, miserable Rodgers. I mean, you know, he's just got a face that you just want to slap.
It's true.
I think it was a good point at this point. We can now end tonight, and it's a pleasure to have everyone on board for tonight.
Can I just apologise for something before we end? Because I'm obviously, it's 11:30 at night here. I'm in Lithuania, and I've been trying to do this from a library in the hotel. And bear in mind, we started this about half 10. I was in there last night checking all the places out I could do it. And I've gone in this library last night, brilliant, nobody's in it. Everyone wants to come in tonight into the library, so I'm in and out of the library all the time, trying to do me chat and stuff. So I apologise for that if I've been a bit all over the place.
Have you been shushed yet in the library?
Nothing. Everyone's scared of me, to be honest, because I'm a bit loud.
just wait.
Have you shouted bogeys? Have you shouted bogeys while you've been in the library?
Oh God!
No, they've come out. I can go back in again.
just go in and like show me your ponytail and say, look. You know I am.
Looks like an escaped convict, doesn't he? Let's be honest.
He's a Lithuanian gangster at the minute, isn't he?
What ponytail?
He's talking to the guy who got refused entry into Belarus yesterday. Had to go a long way. Well,
I did. Hey, you've got to see that. I don't know if you can see this place from. This is a library in a hotel. I don't. Can you see that?
That is nice.
Is that the roof? Is that a roof or is it a window?
That's there, that's a roof.
Is that painting on ceiling?
Yes,
no, that's
yeah.
Mural.
Yes, painting, it's just painting. It looks like it's... but then you've got this look, he's this little bloke in the middle.
Yeah, don't disturb him.
Yeah. What hotel are you staying
that's
in?
That's Stuart's brother.
You don't get that in a Premier Inn.
What am I looking at?
It's the Lithuanian version of the ETAP.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be the moon or something up here. Anyway.
That's where all Green Bay fans will be going when Roger leaves. They'll be off to the moon to escape the torches given everyone else.
They're going to be very quiet, just like the Patriots fans when Tom left. I'm looking forward.
I wonder if we'll have the same instance where a lot of Patriots fans became Buccaneers fans. I wonder if we'll have a new swing.
Yeah. Yeah. Happen, where would they all go? That would be interesting.
What, the welcome in Vikings country?
Yeah, no. Well, and they'll just follow
Rodgers. It's like Brady, they'll follow Rodgers, yeah.
Yeah, they'll just become Jeopardy fans, won't they?
where do we think possible landing spots for Rodgers then? What's the bookies saying? I've heard Denver Broncos and Raiders.
Yeah, Broncos the one that people talk about, isn't
yeah,
it?
Broncos.
I think the Raiders. I think he'll go to the Raiders.
I think he's more likely to quit. I think he's more likely to retire.
Mm.
There's 44 million reasons not to.
But have you seen how much he's earned?
Yeah, how much he's earned, and he's still going to have a media career, isn't he? He's going to be on today.
He's earned £250 million.
I can see him walking away.
How many weeks at the Raiders before he fell out with Gruden?
I think that's the reason why he won't go. I think that's one reason why he won't go.
Sorry, has anyone seen this? Rodgers on Jeopardy. Did anyone see any of the footage?
Yeah, I've just seen clips, that's all.
It was bad.
From what I've seen, he's got no media career ahead of him.
No,
he was wooden.
The bit I saw, I didn't know if it was just a one-off, but he looked terrible.
He wasn't great.
It was no Romo, was he?
No, it was a poor man's Tony Romo, wasn't it?
Yeah, like Jason Witten when he did it, and he couldn't do it either.
Yeah.
Don't
worry, there'll always charisma.
There'll always be a place for him at TalkSport.
Yeah. He'll end up on BBC, won't it? Let's be honest.
Meow.
Well, guys, thanks for your time tonight and much appreciated. And we'll try and catch back in during the season and see how far we're going with these predictions.
Badly, cool. I reckon.
Yeah, cheers, everyone. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Cheers.
Cheers,
cheers guys.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.